the VCA Voice podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marie Curl. Our goal with the VCA Voice is to showcase how VCA Animal Hospitals is taking care of the future of veterinary medicine. We'll bring our purpose to life through meaningful conversations about care, our culture, and the communities we serve. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Dr. Kizzy English. Dr. English is the medical director for VCA Fort Collins Animal Hospital and also VCA Urgent Care in Fort Collins, Colorado. Welcome, Kizzy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Curl. I'm so excited.
Me too. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really, really pumped about this. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, me too. And I'm going to jump right into some questions. To start off with, tell me a little bit about your journey in veterinary medicine, and when did you know it was the right path for you?
I was one of those people that knew when I was really young. Mm-hmm. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old when I told my dad I really wanted to be a veterinarian. I had to do a project at school, of course. What do you mm-hmm. want to be when you grow up? And I had to ask, how do you spell veterinarian? but I took a really circuitous route to get there. It wasn't a direct route for me at all. I knew that I was interested. I knew that I wanted to do it, but I didn't know how to get there. And then at some point in my mid-20s, I realized that the only reason that I wasn't in vet school was that I was just afraid. And once I made that realization, once I recognized that it was only fear keeping me from trying that, I decided that was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And I just went for it.
And then what was your path to get into vet school then?
Oh my goodness. Well, I started out, I majored in English as an undergraduate. I knew I was interested in veterinary medicine, but majored in English.
Okay.
And then spent a few years as a grant writer for a nonprofit organization. Okay. And then that's kind of where I realized, you know what? I'm just kind of sitting here being afraid, wasting time. And so I'm going to go for this veterinary thing. So I moved to Colorado. And then that's when I got into a master's program mm-hmm. at CSU here in Fort Collins. And then went to vet school after that.
What was your area of study in your master's?
Biomedical sciences.
Oh, wonderful. I bet your English undergraduate actually paid off with all the writing that you have to do in the master's and in vet school as well.
It did help. I like to joke that I probably wouldn't have gotten into vet school unless I had written myself there. Uh-huh. I sort of convinced them that I could do it. And sort of, I guess I was persuasive enough that they let me in.
So tell me about your pathway that brought you to VCA.
I was in a place where I was kind of at a low point in my career and I really needed a change. And I lucked into this associate doctor role at a VCA in mm-hmm. Denver, a small practice in Denver. So VCA came along at just the right time in my life and provided a lot of great people and a lot of great mentorship and a lot of support when I needed it.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. So how did you go from being an associate veterinarian with VCA and now you're a medical director? Is that the same hospital or was there a different opportunity there? And why did you decide to become a medical director?
That's a great question because I initially wanted no part of being a medical director.
Okay.
Again, as we were talking about, I was kind of at a low place in my career, mm-hmm. but I was at this great hospital and I was perfectly happy being an associate there. I was so happy to have found them and I was so happy in that hospital. But I had a medical director there who was just such a great mentor and he really helped me understand what that role could be and how supported I felt with him in that role. And so it meant the world to me that he saw me in that role. Mm-hmm. He always saw me as a medical director. He saw that as the path that I was going to take and that someday when he retired that I was going to take over that hospital. And that changed the world for me to have that good example. And that made me want to pursue some additional leadership roles. It turned out that my opportunity happened to be in Fort Collins instead of in Denver. Mm-hmm. But it was really with his guidance and his support that I really saw myself as a medical director.
So what's the main difference being a medical director compared to an associate veterinarian? Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, the difference for me is that my focus when I was an associate doctor was really my own career, what my skills were, using my own hands to really progress the hospital that I was in. But as a medical director, your focus is really the development of your team. it's no longer your own skills that you're developing. You're looking at your whole team and what they have to offer and the pieces that you can develop in each of them.
I do want to ask you, when you and I met and spent some time together recently, you were telling me a little bit about your family. Tell me what it's like practicing full time and being a mom and balancing being a parent for other veterinarians who are out there who may be either considering that or are in that process right now. How do you make all that work?
I think every parent's just trying to do their best. We're just hanging on, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that's been the most important for me is really embracing the idea that balance is not the same as perfect. That if you really think about what it means to balance, it really means that there are actually a lot of wobbles, that it's a lot of wobbles that are trending to the center. And I wobble a lot. I wobble a lot. And so it's helpful for me to realize that that's expected and that it's normal and that it takes a really good team, whoever that is, whether it's a partner, whether it's your work team, that it takes that whole team to help manage all of those fluctuations. The mom in me wants to be with my kids all the time, mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, all the time. But I also know that it's important for them to see me doing something that I'm passionate about. And so that really makes it okay for me to have different priorities at different times.
I'm going to shift gears just a little bit now, and I'd like to learn more about your current role. And first of all, VCA Fort Collins Animal Hospital was one of the first hospitals to form our innovation group within VCA. Can you provide a little bit of information on what the innovation group is about and how long it's existed?
My involvement with the innovation group began when Idea Park was created. It's almost 2 years ago now, and there were 8 hospitals at that time, and mine was one of the original 8. Mm-hmm. 12 more have recently joined.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So, and then Idea Park, really, our focus is providing high-quality medicine, increasing capacity to care for patients in a sustainable way, trying to improve the convenience and decreasing the stress for clients, pets, and the care teams. But we're trying to address all of that, all of those big challenges that veterinary medicine is facing through staying curious, learning, and adapting. So that was my introduction, really, to the innovation group.
So what does that mean exactly? So you have Idea Park, and it started as 8 hospitals and is now up to 20, if my math is correct. So what's different about Idea Park hospitals compared to our other hospitals?
My thoughts on what makes us different is that we're really just embracing the change. We're really open to being the testing ground mm-hmm. of trying these new things. And we really have to maintain our focus very clearly. We're trying to address these big problems in veterinary medicine, and we're trying to make them better. And so we really have to keep coming back to, how can we make this better? How can we address some of these big challenges that we're facing?
So you've had some experience with addressing some of that change. And I agree with you that as a veterinarian, I think that if you're in your own practice, it can be really difficult to think differently about what are some novel solutions that we have. So can you give me an example or two of some novel solutions that you've worked through in your hospital and how those went?
Yeah, I think a good example is the staggered booking. We tried a new way of scheduling. Mm-hmm. And what we were trying to do was we wanted to allow doctors to have more control over their schedules. We wanted to provide more time for charting, phone calls, and all those other tasks that we have to do. We wanted to give clients more access and also increase capacity. We wanted all those good things. All the good things that come along with that.
That sounds impossible to make all those happen at the same time.
And it was very challenging.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of resistance initially because that's a really big goal. Mm-hmm. And so we really had to make that commitment to being open to that possibility and build a lot of trust and confidence within our team. And eventually no one wanted to do it any other way. They were so happy with the results that even the people that were the most resistant became our biggest supporters.
So you'd said a staggered booking. Walk me through what that schedule looks like and what are the different components of that?
That's a challenging one. I feel like that's so much easier to see than it is to explain. Mm-hmm. But really, the core of it is that you've got two schedules and you have two teams, mm-hmm. and each schedule is offset from the other one. So they're starting at different times. The reason it works so well is because each team ends up having more time with the client, mm-hmm. whereas the doctor is bouncing in between these different rooms. But when you really think about how much time you actually need with the doctor in the room, you don't need as much time with the doctor in the room. So it's really allowing everybody to function very highly in their position and use the best parts of them and function in the roles that only they can do.
So from a client perspective, the client is there for a longer period of time and they have their team that they're working with that's focusing on them. Who's on the team?
There's one veterinarian. There's one care concierge. That's a new role that was created as part of this staggered booking.
Okay.
And then there's also one technician. Now that's for each team. So one doctor would have two care concierges and would have two technicians on their total team. There are also some floating technicians as well. And then the care concierge also gets to help in that role.
Now, did your clients and patients notice the change or did they say anything or did they seem pretty happy?
I don't know if they immediately noticed something that we were doing that was different. They did notice a slightly different flow to the appointments. But I think the main thing that they noticed was that they got to actually spend more time with the doctor, which is what they were there for. The doctor was getting in the room a lot faster and was able to spend more time with them. And so they were definitely happier. But I don't know if you asked them if they could actually put their finger on exactly what had changed, mm-hmm. because it wasn't a major shift for them. They were still seeing the same faces. There was still generally the same flow to our appointments. It was just little tweaks here and there, little adjustments along the way that allowed us to have more time with them.
How long did it take to get onto that schedule?
We did it sort of in phases.
Okay.
There would be certain doctors that would try it one day and other doctors that would try it a different day. And then there's staffing so that you can have enough people to try to do this with each doctor. But mm-hmm. I would say that we were probably able to get onto a fully staggered booking schedule within a few weeks.
Once your teams had a chance to live through that schedule, what did they say about it now?
They love it. They don't want to do it any other way now.
Yeah.
They feel that they actually have the opportunity to do the best at their jobs because they have more time to do their jobs, which is always the limiting factor, right? Mm-hmm. In the hospital, you're always feeling short on time, but it makes people feel that they have a bit more time.
How do your technicians feel about it?
They like it too, because even though it doesn't seem like it when you're looking at the schedule, they actually have more time for each patient as well. So they feel that they're able to focus a whole lot more on what they're doing, on the task in front of them.
They really are able to focus on that high-level patient care.
Exactly.
I want to shift gears a little bit now and talk about urgent care, because you have opened the second VCA urgent care in that location in February of 2023, and it's adjacent to Fort Collins Animal Hospital, and you're providing medical leadership for both locations. Tell me a little bit about what happens in a VCA urgent care hospital.
Urgent care is so different than any of the things that we're used to. But it's so exciting for me. The associates are excited for a different type of medicine. The clients have more access for their pets. The pets don't have to wait as long for care. Emergency and specialty services are getting to focus on what they do best while we relieve some of the pressure on them. Urgent care is its own special, unique place to be.
So from a client perspective, what does veterinary urgent care mean? What kind of patients do you see?
We're really focusing on what I think a lot of people that are used to veterinary medicine are calling those same-day sick appointments. Mm-hmm. Urgent care is there to see the patients that would have to wait to see their general practitioner, but they don't necessarily need emergency care. They're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They might be in pain. So it's preferable that they be seen today, but they don't need to be assessed by a medical professional immediately. Those are the kind of cases we're seeing. The typical ones that we always think of are those ear infections. Mm-hmm. doesn't need to be an emergency room, but you might not want to wait a week to see your practitioner if they have a very busy schedule and they can't get you in that day. Those are the types of things we're seeing on urgent care.
So why is it better for clients to do this instead of just saying, well, I'll go to the emergency room?
It's better for them because there are shorter wait times generally. The emergency is really trying to focus on those patients that really need our help right away, that cannot wait, that absolutely need a medical professional right away. So it's better for the client because they're being able to be seen a bit faster because they're in a more appropriate environment for them.
So what kinds of cases do you recommend that come through urgent care and seek out that type of appointment? And what kinds of cases should go directly to an emergency room?
The way that we have been describing it to clients, because I think it can be very hard to know actually where you should be.
Yep.
I feel very lucky to be where I am in Fort Collins because we have a continuity of care. If general practice is the right place for them, we can direct them to our general practice. Mm-hmm. If urgent care seems to be a more appropriate place for them, we can direct them there. But then we also have emergency right down the street with VSNC where we can say, that's the right place for you. But how we've had a lot of success in explaining it to people is if you feel like you need a medical professional to look at your pet immediately, you should be in emergency. If you feel like you can put your name on a list and wait until it's your turn, then urgent care might be a really good choice for you.
So how does that work? Do clients just come and gather at the hospital? If they seek out an appointment with urgent care, what does it look like on their end?
One of the things that I'm probably most excited about for urgent care is that we have what we're calling the virtual waiting room. There's a website where they can go or any hospital can go, any receptionist can go and see what our wait time is and then sign them up right away. And so they get on a list and then through a series of emails, they're being directed as to when they should show up at the hospital. So they can wait at home, they can wait in their office, they can wait wherever is most comfortable for them. And then they're being directed through these series of texts as to when they should show up at our clinic.
Oh, that's really interesting. So they don't have to sit and wait for hours in the waiting room with their pet and with other pets coming in.
Exactly. And so our lobby area is very quiet and calm because we're not just having everyone wait here. They can wait wherever they feel the most comfortable. And then when it's their time, they're being told, now it's time for you to head to the clinic.
So is this a service just for existing VCA clients or can anyone use the VCA Urgent Care Hospital?
Anyone can use it. Anyone can see what the wait time is on that website and anyone can sign them up. So even other hospitals that are experiencing their own trouble with access to care, if they have overflow that they need someone to see them, they're able to see us and sign up patients right there. And so they're still able to provide service for their clients as well.
And how have other veterinarians in the Fort Collins area received this new hospital model?
It's been extremely well received. I think we have all probably been in the situation where someone calls us and they really need their pet to be seen. And we feel terrible because we have nothing to offer them. We have nothing that we can say other than, well, you can call around and see if maybe this hospital or that hospital could see you. But with this, you're able to look right on the website and say, this is the wait. I can sign you up on the list right here. You still get to be able to help them. And so the hospitals in the area have received this very well because they still get to help their clients. And after we see someone on urgent care, we email back records that same day. So we are sending them right back to whatever hospital they came from so they can do their long-term care with their general practitioner.
So they follow up with their family veterinarian, no matter if that family veterinarian is within VCA or outside. Is that right?
Absolutely. Whatever vet they usually see as their general practitioner for their primary care is getting all of those records that same day so they can continue that case and they can continue being their primary care.
What happens if you see a patient that needs 24-hour care? Do you provide that?
We do not provide 24-hour care. We're not an emergency at all, so we cannot replace that service. That's not at all the position that we're filling. We're 10 to 8 every single day. So if they need 24-hour care, we are here to help them be transferred to an appropriate facility, but that's not a service that we provide.
So you have emergency hospitals in Fort Collins that are willing to take patients if somebody ends up in urgent care that doesn't really belong there?
We are so lucky in Fort Collins. We have so many emergency facilities and we have great relationships with them. And so we can make sure that everybody's getting the care that they need.
So how do your associates feel about urgent care? Do they enjoy working in that environment?
I think the associates are loving working in urgent care. It's a beautiful space. Uh-huh. It's so thoughtfully and carefully designed, but it's also a really fun opportunity to get to practice medicine in a different way. So they're really excited about it. It's a really fun area to be in. So I think the associates are really enjoying the urgent care as well.
Are there any early lessons learned with this new practice model? And are you making any changes already?
There's always lots to learn.
Okay.
This is only the second time VCA has tried to start a brand new hospital. Mm-hmm. So everything is a learning opportunity. We are learning everything from how to get supplies to how we let people know that we're here. We're still in the process of figuring it all out. So there are so many lessons for us to learn. But I think the best lesson has probably just been seeing how excited our team is to build something. That when you give people the opportunity to expand and to try something new, they're really interested when given the chance.
We don't have too much time left, and I wanted to ask you, you work in a town with a very strong College of Veterinary Medicine, Colorado State University. Do you have any words of advice for vet students that are entering our profession in the coming years?
Yeah, I think we have the greatest profession in the world, but we really have to work to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. It's very important to take care of yourself, to take care of your team. I think we're happiest when we get to use the best parts of ourselves, and there's room for all of us. So you can find whatever areas that can use your particular talents.
Well, those are great words of advice. And from your early career experience too, it sounds like continuing to seek and find places that you can grow and that fit your unique working style are very important for young professionals as well. So, Kizzy, thank you so much. It's been an honor to get to speak with you, and I look forward to working with you more in the future in your area medical director role, and I really appreciate you.
Well, it was a great opportunity to be here. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. Don't forget to leave a review to let us know your thoughts and share the episode with friends. Follow VCA Animal Hospitals on social media at LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more inspiring stories, visit our website at vcavoice.com.